This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. If it's Saturday, even living in isolation, I'm okay.
Yeah. Well, you've had a chance to get out a little bit, right? I mean, you went to the hair salon. You've not gone to restaurants though, right?
No, I'm not going to a restaurant right now. Yeah. I just think it's too dangerous, and I don't want to do it. I don't want to participate.
Yeah. So a lot of people think of the same thing.
You can order everything that you could go and get at a restaurant. You can order it at home.
Yeah.
And I think right now, to be safe, people should be ordering in. And if you have to go out, of course, you've got to wear a mask. But don't go out and socialize, you know. Let's be safe for a little while longer.
Yeah. Just because people say it's okay to get out doesn't mean, you know, you still have to get out. It comes with responsibility.
That's exactly right. And everybody I know, they're going, you know, like to the drugstore. If they have to go to work, you know, they're wearing their mask. If they have to go to the grocery store, they're being very careful. But I have ordered groceries for 2.5 months. You know, I have not been near a grocery store.
You like it, don't you?
I do like it. I mean, it's pretty, it's so convenient, you know?
Yeah.
I've never had that convenience. You know, they just pull up to the garage. They put the groceries in the garage, and I go out and get them.
So when this is all over, are you going to continue, or are you going to go back to going to the store?
I don't know yet. I mean, it sure saves a lot of time that you could be doing something else.
Yeah.
You know, once you're giving them their list.
Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of fees involved, but it's also giving somebody else a job.
That's right, and I don't think the fees are that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, the fees don't seem that bad.
Mm-mm. Not all that bad.
No. I mean, the convenience, you got to figure if this is convenient and safer, it's worth it.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of people are saying the same thing. And I know a lot of restaurants there, there are some places that have always had curbside pickup. You can order ahead and stop by and, you know, you pull in the dedicated parking space. And then there's other ones that are you know, completely adapting how they do business. Restaurants that didn't have that option before, now they do. So they're finding ways, I guess, to get around things.
I think that's true, and even the stores are saying we have curbside pickup.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that Belk is open, but only from 12 to 6.
Oh, really?
So a lot of them are not opening all day even.
Hmm.
And most of them are saying, you know, we have curbside pickup. You call ahead, you go online and order, and then you pick up here at our front door.
Well, that's neat.
So they're all offering that right now, which is a great idea. If you need something, you go online, you order it, and then just pick it up.
Yep.
Or just have it sent out. Now, me, I have everything sent.
Mm. So everything's delivered.
Everything's delivered. I mean, UPS comes, FedEx comes, Amazon. I mean, it doesn't matter who it is. You know? I just order everything.
It's like and
now Amazon has enough toilet paper for the world, by the way.
Oh, do they really? Oh, that's good to know.
Yes, that's right. Now you can order it and it's available.
Oh, good.
And I'll say that and it'll be gone by noon.
I know, right? It's like fixing to place my order right now and it's probably already gone already.
That's right. And, I found that on toilet paper at Kroger, you had to order it online for shipping. You couldn't just say, send some out to the house. No, you had to order it online and say, ship it.
So they weren't even stocking local shelves at all. It wasn't even an option.
They didn't have enough, no. Now, Office Depot, I was able to get it the next day from there.
Wow.
Yeah. I ordered some typing paper and some things that we needed for the office, and they had it available, so I just said, send some out.
Wow. And they did.
And they did.
Wow. Neat.
Yeah. And then Amazon Fresh, at first they didn't have anything. And the other day I ordered some from them.
Wow. Look at you
and
go.
And it was delivered that day.
Huh.
How about that?
That's pretty great. I think it sounds like, you know, maybe at the beginning things were a little bit bumpy. But it sounds like a lot of these places.
It was bumpy, all right. You couldn't get it.
Yeah. It sounds like they worked out a lot of the bugs.
But so the one other thing you can't get, you still have to order and have shipped, is macaroni.
Really? Hadn't even tried yet.
Dried macaroni.
Really?
I could not get it at the store. They said you have to have it shipped to you. I go, we're having macaroni shipped? Dry macaroni, just having it shipped to the house. Good Lord, what a life.
Yeah, these are new times, that's for sure. When you have to have macaroni shipped, it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, something like that that's so common, I mean, we're all used to buying it. You wouldn't think that, would you?
You wouldn't think, yeah. Have they raised the price to go with the demand?
You know, I don't remember what the price was before.
Well, that's true. You never paid any attention.
I never paid a bit of attention, so I don't know. I thought some of the other items seemed like they had went up. Vitamins. The price was a lot different. The size of the vitamin jar that I was paying $39 for, it's now $59.
Ooh, wow, that's a big jump.
Yeah, it was a big jump on vitamins. But I don't know about other things because I wasn't paying attention. The vitamins, I had been paying attention, so I did notice that jump in the price.
With the price going up, did the quantity stay the same, or did the bottles get smaller?
It was smaller.
Ugh. So they charge more and you get less.
Yeah, it was not the same size that I'd been using, no.
Oh, that's kind of a bummer.
That's right. Things are changing.
Yeah, they are.
America is not the same.
No, nobody will be going forward. Of course, then again, maybe there's an opportunity for some new businesses and some new industries and things like that to pop up from all this.
I hope you're right. I'm just hoping we can get everybody back in business, get everybody working, get the unemployment rate back down like it ought to be.
Yeah.
Because, you know, 29 million people filed for unemployment.
It's a lot. It's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
Well, and that's what this is all about, getting things back in shape financially. And that's what this is. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And don't forget, your website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. People can go there and find all kinds of information about past investments, money that people have made. They can read testimonials, find out a little bit more about how a life settlement investment works. So what's the status of things? What's been going on? I know that you know, things were really thriving in the last couple of weeks. Is it still holding strong?
It is holding strong. And more people are coming and saying, Faye, you know, we have sold our business, we would like to invest with you. And they said, can we meet with you? And I said, well, if you want to over Zoom, I said, you know, I'm not coming out of the cave quite yet.
No.
So I said, yes, you know, we can do it on Zoom. And then, you know, in a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it is, you know, I will meet with you. But for right now, I think Zoom will do it, and we can open up an account, and I think they'll be happy that way. And also, you know, we had all these policies. We've been waiting for the money to get there. The Garrett policy, which was $1 million, that came in this week. The Robinson money is in the bank. That was $100,000. Then Garrett had another policy at $216,000. That's in the bank. So money has been coming in and going into everybody's accounts, and we've got more money coming that'll be going in everybody's accounts very quickly.
So it sounds like it was a big week for people getting paid. A lot of money was paid out by life insurance companies.
Yes, it was. And the Braddock policy. We should be getting that money next week. And Picard. Picard has went to the life insurance company, and we should be, they're telling me Picard is on its way, and that's a $1 million policy.
Oh, wow. That's a big one.
Yes, another big one. So Picard, I would think, would be in their accounts this next week. I know it's been mailed from the carrier, and we're just waiting on all this money coming in, but it is coming in. We've speeded things up finally. So money will be in, and people will be able to invest in the next couple of weeks.
You know, and it's a good point that you make there, because I'm sure a lot of people are thinking to themselves, well, geez, you know, there's a lot of places that are closed or on reduced hours or reduced staff or whatever. Does that mean that when a policy matures, my money is going to be tied up? I would assume the answer is no.
No. We had a little trouble with a couple of the policies getting the money because they were in New Jersey, and New Jersey was shut down, but we finally got around that. The others that we thought were a little slow, we called our attorney and said, can you figure out another way that we can do this? He did figure out another way, and those checks have already been sent. So the only hiccup we had, we've resolved that, and now everything's back on course, you know, for us to get paid like we always have.
You know, a lot of people are looking at what's happening, and people may be affected personally, or if not, then they know somebody who has, where, you know, a business has shut down, or, you know, business is no longer going to be business as usual, the way we used to know. So how has all of this affected people's investment opportunities? How has this affected the life settlement business?
Well, ours is stronger than it's ever been, which I'm in shock. That our business going forward seems to really be strong. 21st Services, I mentioned this last week, sent us this new graph and new chart showing that it's going to be 12 times more maturities this year than we've ever had. They said because of this virus, people with cancer are not getting the treatment that they need. So they're predicting that we will have 12 times more this year than usual. So I would think that we will have a lot of maturities this year. People are going to make more money this year than usual, is what we're believing, if everything holds like we think it will. So, you know, we're gearing up for this. We're buying policies as fast as we can. We're trying to keep people's money invested where they'll make more this year, which I think they're going to, and especially if we have more maturities.
So how does this translate to people making more money? Does it mean that with the predictions that they say for this coming year, with 12 times more, does it mean that there's more policies that may be available and faster maturities and faster payouts?
I think it'd be more maturities because a lot of these people are going to pass away this year. They may have a longer LE, but it looks like it will be shorter according to 21st. And so we will be turning the money maybe a little quicker than usual. So maybe instead of going 30 months, it might be 20 months. Is what it's looking like right now, that we will have more maturities, that they're going to be sooner than what we're used to. So if that's true, we'll be able to turn the money for people a little faster and make them a little bit more money.
And so that means that people can get into more policies. That means that people can make more money, because really that's what it comes down to. It's making money, and it's being in as many policies as possible, right?
That's exactly right. And the people that called me this week, the man's father is already a client of ours. They're selling their business. They're going to put it with us. And I have a lot of people that have been calling about this, saying, you know, we're either going to take early retirement, and we've been intending to give you the money since March, which they didn't. And they, you know, in April they, you know, came over instead of March. Then these people here, it is May, and they sold their business. They're putting it with us. And I've had a lot of people calling because they want something that they know what they're going to make right now. And they don't want the stock market up and down, which it is really up and down. You know, one day you may look like you've got a lot of money, and then it may fall. And, of course, you know, everybody's predicting that that the stock market is going to do very, very bad this year. And, you know, you just can't depend on it. If you're going to depend on that, you're way out there. And this gets it back down where you know what you're going to make. You're making good money with this. And if you work it and have a lot of policies, it's going to work for you.
So when people come to you and they say, Faye, we went ahead and sold the business, are they selling it earlier than they planned, or were they not planning to sell it at all and they decided, well, this is probably going to be the best option with the way things are going right now?
You know, I don't know. They didn't tell me if they were selling it on time or not. But I would think the grandfather's involved in it, so it may be that it's just the right time for them to sell. But they've been in business a long time. They're getting a good payback for what they've done all these years, so they're wanting to put it in and do life settlements, do the life insurance because they know how it works. Mm-hmm. This is one thing. Most of the people that come to us, they know someone that's already with us, so they know the track record of the company. They know how much the friend has been making, and they know that they're doing well. So that's why they're coming, because somebody has recommended us.
And I know this is going to sound a little bit more extreme than what it actually is, but to make the point, are there more people that are taking maybe measures like this that they hadn't planned on doing before? Because, you know, things have really, really changed in the last several months, and people are completely reevaluating not only retire, but survival as well. And so it seems like investing in a life insurance policy is really, yes, it's always been great for investments. We've been talking about that for a long time. But it also sounds like it might be really, really great for just, and again, not day-to-day survival, so to speak, but as far as, you know, what's in the account now when so many people are losing money on Wall Street and other investments. This is an opportunity to make it. So does it seem a little bit like unplanned when people make the switch?
Well, I think a lot of them had planned it, but they were planning on doing it earlier, and they were doing it a little bit later than what they'd planned to with us. And I think that's, I can really see that. People were going to do it in March. They did it in April. They did it in May, which they were going to do it earlier. And then we've got a lot of people right now. They're taking early retirement because they've been laid off. And they just said, you know, we'll just take early retirement instead of trying to get a new job. So, they put that with us because they don't want the ups and downs. They don't want stocks that, you know, that may let them down, that may be real low, and they're not going to get, you know, the money that they need to live on. And, of course, remember, when they've got stocks, they've got to liquidate or have enough dividends to live on. I've got one guy that said he still had like 200-something thousand in the stock market. Well, he said he can't take but 4% a year out of that.
Wow.
And, yeah. And so, you know, they're depending on us for a lot of their income.
And that's a good question or a good point right there is, you know, it really kind of becomes a matter of income. I know that people who have been investing for years and years are set. They're good to go. They're already, you know, in their ways. They're in a number of policies, been making a lot of money over several years. But people who are new, how do they fit in? Like, where do they jump into, I guess, the big picture? Are they able to get into a number of policies and get to that level, or do they need to build up?
Well, we're putting them in as many policies as we can, as quickly as we can. Some of the new ones have already had some policies mature.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, I thought it was too, because they were in some policies that were just now getting paid out on. So, if you invest regularly, all the time, your policies are going to come in, you're going to have more money, and it works. We know this works. We've been doing it a long time. And the people that invest once in a while, they don't make that kind of money because they're not investing all the time. The ones who invest consistently have made a lot of money.
So the ones that are just kind of casually investing here and there, they're doing well. But if people are really actually like serious about really jumping in and getting in 100%, they really need to be in a number of policies, right?
That's right. You can't do it with one or two policies. It's not going to give you enough to retire on. You've got to have several policies to make this work because they mature like at 18 months, 24 months, 30 months, whatever it is. And you've got to do that over and over again to build up the interest.
Do you have any recommendations? And I know everybody's situation is unique, but, you know, with these times the way they are now, do you recommend in general that this is a good time to maybe go ahead and think about selling your business if you haven't already? Or, you know, is it a good time to take the early retirement? Or is it a good time? Do you have any other recommendations that people can do to start thriving in a time where so many people are not?
Well, I think the ones who can now might be a good time to do early retirement and just put the money to work. If you've got enough money, you know, if you've got $300,000, $400,000 or more, I think now would be a good time to take early retirement, get the money out of the stock market, get it conservative where you know you've got a fixed rate, where you know what you're going to make, and relax. I think it might be a great time for that. And, you know,
it's a good time to relax. That's true.
That's right. Well, if a man's been working for 40 years and now he says, you know, I can go fishing, I can go hunting, I can travel, you know, do it before you get too old, enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah. This might be the catalyst.
And I have a friend who sold their business, and we told him the other day, you need to go to the lake more often. They have a lake house. Go to the lake. Enjoy it. And they've been traveling all these years anyway. In the summer, they'll take 2 weeks and go to Italy or France or Europe or, you know, somewhere. But now, I mean, they can really go now. They can go several times a year instead of once a year.
Yeah.
And they don't have to be tied down to their business or worrying about when they're out of town.
That's true. That's true. It might be an opportunity for people to kind of re-examine and say, you know, I was going to work for, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 more years, and maybe we go ahead and, you know, make the move now. Maybe we can. Maybe it's time to reevaluate finances and take that early retirement and kind of get out and enjoy yourself a little earlier than you thought.
I think so. We've had several that have taken early retirement, and they've moved to either lakes or the hill country, somewhere interesting. They haven't stayed in Midland because there's no lake. You know, there's a lot of things we don't have. Good water. I mean, so many different things that, you know, you can move, you know, like to Granbury. Granbury has got everything. That place has got golf. It's got all those little theaters downtown. It's got all the antique places, good restaurants, and then they've got the little lake.
What other neat things are people doing when they go ahead and retire? You know, maybe
well, I've got some that have bought ranches. I've got a lot of men that think they've just got to have a ranch. Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of them that have got a ranch, and they're out there, you know, playing cowboy. Yeah, they are.
Well, yeah.
And what I don't understand, some of them have bought ranches in New Mexico. That's a long way to go to have a ranch.
That is a long way.
Hmm. You know, I mean, I don't understand it.
Well, whatever people, you know, decide they want to do, they've got to at least have the funds there to make that option, to make that choice.
Now, I've got some that bought farms, but farms are not as much fun. You know, you got to farm that sucker.
Yeah.
But one of my clients that bought a little farm, he's got it leased out, so that's a good thing.
Oh.
You know, yeah, he's not doing any of the work. He just leased it out, and that's a good thing. He goes out there and plays with it a little bit, but he didn't do any work. You know,
that's pretty smart thinking.
I think that's real smart thinking. And the others bought a ranch. Now they're building ranch houses. This is crazy. Building ranch houses. And ranches are way out in the country, folks. Mm-hmm. Do you really think your wife wants to live 30 miles out in the country?
No.
No, women are not up to that. I mean, the men are building these houses. I'm thinking, oh my gosh!
Yeah. There's some more of that quarantine isolation.
Yep. I mean, you're already isolated enough. Now, I think going to the ranch on the weekends or during the week and coming back and, you know, coming back to civilization is a great idea. I mean, you know, but stay out there and build a new house, which I know some of them are doing. I don't know how that's going to work out.
So the moral of this story here, if I understand you correctly, is that Faye Bagby is not going to be buying a farm or a ranch anytime soon.
No, I don't think I need that much isolation, folks. You know, remember, I'm a Saturday girl.
That is true. Yeah.
And when you're a Saturday girl, you've got to be in town to have any fun.
Yeah, you can't be like an hour and a half away from the beauty salon.
No, that's not a good idea.
So let's talk about the investment for a minute. We're talking about investing in a life insurance policy, and people hear the word investing right now, and it's almost becoming a dirty word because, you know, all we hear is how much money people are losing when they're investing in, well, usually we're talking about Wall Street or, you know, things like that. But how does a life insurance policy actually make money, especially in times like these?
Well, remember, these people have got stage 4 cancer, so we know it's going to be a fairly short policy, 2 or 3 years or maybe 18 months or even 12 months. So we know that they're in the final stages of cancer, and we buy it at a discount. So we buy their life insurance not for the face value, which let's say it's $1 million. We may buy it for $700,000 or $750,000. Our clients make the difference between what we paid for the life insurance policy and the face amount. So we give them 1% a month. I think we pay the highest in the industry, by the way. So if it's a 24-month policy, they're going to make 24%. If it's 12 months, they're going to make 12%. And this happens over and over again. Then there's some great things about this. Not only are we paying 1% a month, the bank handles the money. This is what I love about our policies. Nevada Trust, the accounts are opened at Nevada Trust. The bank makes sure the premiums are paid. When the person passes away, again, the bank steps in for us. They get the certified death certificate. The check comes to them, and they put it in their base account. That's how it really works.
Pretty streamlined and pretty simple.
It is streamlined. And when we buy these policies, you know, we have everything checked. We make sure the premiums are paid, that there's not a loan on it. If there's a loan on it, we pay the loan off. We find out all of this in advance. And then when we go to close the policy, it's changed over with the bank as the trustee. Everything's handled by the bank.
It's all nice and secure, and that's important. People need to understand that going in, that the money is there. It's in a secure process. The whole thing is streamlined really from front to end. And so people, I mean, it's important, especially when we're talking about investing this much money.
That's right. And we deal in big dollars every day. You know, we're dealing in millions of dollars of people's money every day.
What would you say is the number one question people ask you when they come see you for the first time?
How soon will I have a maturity? How soon do these come due? You know, when will I start making money? So, you know, we explain to them if it's 24-month policy, you know, it'll be 24 months. If it's 12 months, it'll be in about 12. And we've got some, you know, 8-month policies. But if they'll go to the website and AmericanFinancialMidland.com, and look up what everybody's been making. Look at what the profit is. The profit is there. We post it. I think I'm 3 months behind on posting policies, but it tells you if they came in on time, if they were late. You can see all that right there online.
Let's put these in some hardcore hypothetical numbers, just so people can, because we talk about, you know, profit margins and things like that. It's important to let people know how much they can actually make and when. So say, for example, say I came to see you for the first time. Say I've got $200,000. Say I come to you and I say, okay, Faye, I've got this money. What can you do? What can I get into? How much can I make and when? Like in actual dollars.
Well, and it's going to depend on how many policies. I would say 4 policies.
Oh, okay. Okay? So 200 would be great.
Yeah. If you've got 200,000, we ought to be able to do 4 policies.
Okay.
So you've got 4 policies that will be turning over. So every time one of those turns over, you get your interest payment plus your principal back. So as like if on these, if it's 24 months, you get paid in 24 months. If it's 18 months, you're going to make 18% in 18 months.
Okay.
So that's exactly how you get paid.
And that's based on the life expectancy from doctors of the original policy holder.
That's exactly right. And on everything we do, if it's $1 million or more, you know, we're getting two life expectancies. We don't trust it's one if it's $1 million. We do two. If it's under $1 million, we'll take one, either, you know, like Fasano, or we'll take 21st Services, or someone that we really trust. You know, these companies have been in business a long, long time, and they are good at it.
So when we say
and we did a study, as you know, on which ones come due the most often. And I think that 21st came due a little more often than the others.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. So when we say that, you know, okay, this policy is going to pay, you know, this much, and it's going to mature in roughly about 18 months, and that's about when you'll get paid, it's important for people to know, don't mark that on a calendar and say, okay, on this exact date, I'm going to get paid this amount of money. That's not what these numbers are. Is it's an estimate from doctors of when they think the policy may mature. Now, that could go over, it could go under, but that's a rough estimate, so people at least have some kind of an idea of when. They already know the how much, but that life expectancy is a rough estimate, right?
That's exactly right. And I've had people say, well, now I've got this coming due in September. Well, it could be a little bit earlier than September, or it could be later than September. You know, it's not an exact science. It's close, but it's not an exact science. And like this lady Robinson, you know, she lived like 2 or 3 months after we did the policy. And that's very unusual, you know, for them to go that quick. But sometimes it does happen. And then we may have one, you know, it may go 12 months over. Mm-hmm. And again, it can happen. So you have to be prepared either way. And so that's the way, when we figure all this out, that's why we do it that way. Because we say, okay, we're going to have this many that's going to be on time. We're going to have this many that's going to be late. Then we're going to have this percentage that's all going to be early.
And all these numbers are, it's not just like they're flipping a coin and, you know, just, you know, kind of guessing at it. All this is based on actual historical metrics because we're only talking about stage four cancer. It's not that you're just buying any old random life insurance policy. We're talking about stage four cancer. There are decades of numbers and data that they base these life expectancies off of, right? So it's an educated guess.
That's right. And then things are changing in the medical profession every day. Things change. Medicines change. Life expectancies are changed because, you know, they either go down or they go up because of something about the medical profession. And so we study all this as much as we can. When we read all this, we will get other information and put it with them. You know, obesity is always a factor. If they've got diabetes, that's a factor. Their lifestyle, if they're a drinker or a drug user, it's going to affect their chemo. It's going to affect the radiation. So all that's really important, and we try to get every fact we can, and where we'll make an educated decision on this and the best one.
And that, I guess, is why you only buy stage four cancer, is because you know the numbers. We know how expensive treatment is, so people need to sell their policy. And we know that, you know, this is, I guess, for lack of a better term, stage four cancer. They're going to, or at least the data shows, that they're going to mature faster. And so that's why it's not like, you know, most people with stage four cancer don't go on, you know, 20, 30, 40 more years and you're just waiting indefinitely. I guess that's why it's such a well-informed investment, right?
That's right. And of course they have so much data nowadays. Everything is so fast, getting you an answer on something. You know, there's some cancers that only go to stage three. But most cancers, like you say, it's the final number when stage four. We know they're not going to survive that. Usually it's a return or it's a fast-moving cancer. And then if it is metastasized all over their body, we know they're not going to make it. You know, some of these, it's just matured. You know, when we looked at them, we said, you know, we think this is the way it's going to work. And like Albrook, and Albrook hadn't been paid out yet, but he had brain cancer, and it was inoperable.
Mm.
And when and the other one was a stage 4 prostate cancer that had spread. And so that, you know, that's what you need to know. Has it spread? Is it in all these other places? And, you know, we had several colon cancers this time, and we had one pancreatic cancer, and everybody always wants in those. But we had several colon. We had ovarian cancer. And we had several melanomas.
Mm.
We had $1 million policy on a melanoma, and he lived 20 months.
Wow, that's fast.
Yeah, and it doesn't always work that way. But some of them had prostate cancer, and it had spread. And once if it had spread, we know it's going to be fast. And Catafumo, came in 4 months early, and that was $1,250,000. Of course, that was pancreatic cancer, and we always know they're going to come in early.
What I'm sure people are, if they're just now getting into, you know, exposing themselves to life settlements, what does it mean if a policy comes in early? I mean, obviously, it matures a little quicker than they thought, but what does it do to their profit?
Well, you get your profit sooner than you thought. Like if it was 24 months and it comes in 15, you know, we can turn that policy again that same year.
But they still get the 24%.
So they're going to get the 24%. They just get it earlier, and it enables us to invest again that same year.
Cool. So it's a win-win, really, for everybody. So
It helps them. It helps us, everybody, all the way around.
Yeah. These types of policies really translate to faster payouts, faster maturities, and I guess really solid profit margins for people. And that's how you, I guess, you put yourself on the trajectory to get prepared for retirement in a nice conservative way.
That's right. It's a conservative investment. You're not going to get rich overnight. You can't do it with one policy. You've always asked me, can you buy one policy one time and retire? No, you can't.
So how many?
You've got to have several policies. You've got to do it over a period of 7 or 8 years. And it works. You know, we've got people that have retired, that have been with us quite a while. They've retired. They're getting their money. They're doing fine.
Cool. And that's what we want to hear.
Yeah, and we remember those old policies. We're almost through with those. We've just got two left. You know, those policies we've talked about so many times, those old people that weren't sick. You know, we just paid out on another one of those, and I think we've got two left.
So where do these policies come from?
Like the policies that we buy, we get these from licensed providers. Now, we are a licensed provider in the state of Texas ourselves, mm-hmm. and we can buy policies direct from anybody here in Texas. But if it's not a Texas policy, we have to go through a licensed provider who's licensed in all the other states, because we never know where the policy is going to come from. It may come from California or Georgia or Florida. We don't know. So that's where our policies come from, licensed providers who send it over to us and say, Faye, are you interested in this policy? It may be $1 million. It may be $2 million. And then we look at it. If we think that our clients will like it, then we're going to buy it.
And they get policies from people who have been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and they need to sell their policy. It's a conscious decision that the policyholder makes. It's not that anybody's going in and taking anything or repossessing a policy, right?
No. These people call in because they need the money, especially right now. People seem to need the money worse, because we've had more opportunities in the last 3 months than we've ever had on policies. I mean, there is a lot of policies coming into us now. I mean, instead of 4 a week, we're probably getting 10 to 15 a week.
Oh, wow.
People are needing the money now more than they ever have.
Wow, that's a significant jump.
And a lot of people have more than one policy. They may have 2 or 3. And I know on one lady, we bought 2 of her policies. Then she came back the other day, wanted us to buy this little one she had. It's about, I think it's $100,000 or $75,000. And we tried to make a deal with her on it, and she pulled back and kept it.
Really?
See, sometimes what they think they're going to get is unrealistic.
Mm. Yet you already have two of her policies.
We've already bought two of them.
So she knows how it works.
She knows it'll work, and she knows she gets all that cash up front.
Wow. All right. So there's a lot of opportunities, what it sounds like. We'll get into some of the risks and some of the things that people need to know going into this. But for right now, this is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
Living in isolation.
Something we're all an expert in.
This is an article by a lady, and she wrote this cute story, and I just had to tell you about it. She said she was one of these women who always found an excuse to shop. She said nearly every day she was doing an uplifting of shoes, purses, leather, female bonding, she said.
Yeah.
And she said, why can't they come out with an air freshener compatible to that? She said, who needs vanilla cookie scent? You know, she said, the female bonding between shoppers over a pair of new arrival shoes was my nourishment. She said, now I'm starving. She said, speaking of starving, she said, I don't know about you, but during these days of isolation, I'm eating my feelings. She said, did you know there's 25 varieties of Oreos?
I had no
idea.
She said,
I'm on number 11. She said, for 3 years, I had all but given up on bread, rice, potatoes. She said she was eating healthy. A pandemic hits, and I'm on a feeding frenzy.
Yep.
She said, normally, I'm not a dessert lover, but apparently during social isolation, I have become a sweets floozy.
Mm-hmm.
She said, the key items visible from all directions in a grocery store are junk food. My old friends from Frito-Lay missed me all these years. She said, I heard them calling me from aisle 15. And she said, all those foot-long loaves of tanned bread, crusty on the outside, soft and warm inside.
Mm.
She said, that's for me. She said, thank goodness for the bandana covering my mouth. It'll come out in the wash. She said, I placed my keys in a bell jar by the front door to keep them from getting dusty. She said, sometimes I get into my car that's parked in the garage. She said, I sit in the driver's seat and just start the engine. Vroom, vroom. She said, I'm tooling along deciding in my mind whether to stop. A grocery store is not foremost on my list. I've seen enough of those lately. She said, it's so low on my travel spending that it's listed after Blockbuster, and they're not even in business anymore. She said, the other day, while in the middle of my travels, I remembered I used to play this same game with my father's car when I was 12 years old.
Mm. Yeah, I remember doing that, too.
And she said, okay, some say I'm high maintenance. What's wrong with having something on your body, either plucked, trimmed, colored, glued, waxed, or polished every other week?
That's true.
I mean, doing all that. She said, I do things to myself that I haven't done since college, like pedicures.
Mm.
She said, my fingernails have whittled down to uneven stubs. I have a better chance of picking up a paper clip with my teeth.
Oh, my.
She said, now I can relate to how a declawed cat feels. She said, I visited the nail care section of a drugstore. Thinking I would try some press-on nails. Do you remember the old press-on nails?
Oh, yes.
Oh, she said they were already painted, and they were ready for some paperclip action. She said the shelves were nearly empty, so everybody had the same brilliant idea that they stole from me.
Mm-hmm.
She said I had a choice between devil red or silver, with each nail covered in rhinestones.
Ooh.
She said, I decided I really don't have an immediate need to use paper clips. She said, but I'm thinking about adopting a cat.
Interesting thought then, process.
And then she said, the toilet paper shortage has left me wiped. Counting out squares of the stuff is becoming a pastime. She said, it used to be golf. And she said, then there's the tug of the war game when the family is down to one roll and the house has three bathrooms.
Uh-oh. That's trouble.
Can I count that as a workout? Just, I fantasize about the emotional reunion once my arms wrap around my toes and toilet paper. I'd like the blue bears in the commercial. I envision myself caressing the roll, sighing contently over the softness as soothing music plays. Is this the same stuff I used to throw into the back seat, tear open one's home, and shove into the cabinet under the bathroom sink?
It's now a luxury item.
It's not a luxury item. And she says, when the isolation is over, I think I've learned a mighty good lesson.
That's true. Haven't we all?
Yeah, but I thought that was so cute. That about sums it up.
Yeah, it does.
You know, living in isolation, all the things that we miss.
Yeah, it's a totally different take, or it's a totally different view on a lot of the things we just live through day-to-day, in our day-to-day lives before this and never really thought of before.
No, I mean, everybody ate out on Friday nights. You ate out on Saturday night. You know, the weekends, which you know how I enjoy, you know, I've always done all these things on Saturday. Saturday's been phase day. And you lose all that. Mm-hmm. And you go, well, what am I going to do today? Well, I'm not going out of the house.
Yeah.
You know, you will not be going to the beauty shop. You will not be shopping. You know, all these fun things, you have to stay home.
Yeah. And it sounds like, according to that, everybody's eating carbs during during isolation.
That's right. Like she said, she'd given up all the unhealthy things, but now she can't get enough of Frito-Lay.
Yeah. They're calling her name.
They're calling her name. And Oreo cookies, can you imagine?
Who knew there were so many?
There is no Oreo cookies at Kroger. I tried to buy them. I had to go to CVS Pharmacy to get Oreo cookies.
No. Really?
Yes. Only place I could get them.
Wow.
And we had them delivered.
Of course.
Can you imagine? Oh, my gosh. It's a new world out there, folks.
It really is. It's a totally new way to look at the things that we've always had and done, but just didn't appreciate the same way.
And, you know, driving a car. Everybody's almost going to have to learn how to drive again.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, your car's been parked for long.
Yeah, it's set there. We should probably go out and turn it on just to make sure it still runs.
That's right. To make sure we still know how to drive a car.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we may have to take driving lessons.
Yeah, could you imagine how scary that would be the first time?
Woo. Oh, my gosh. And they said over here in Georgia that they let these kids have their driver's license without an actual driving test.
What? Are you serious?
They did. And now they're going back and saying, well, we're going to make them take it later. Can you imagine? In the meantime, they'll have 50 wrecks.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, that's dangerous. That is just...
I remember as a child getting ready to learn to drive,
yeah.
You know, and I had to learn in a pickup with a stick shift. Can you imagine?
Oh, so you went old school.
Old school. And now then, I talk to young kids and they go, well, I couldn't do that. I don't know how. I'm going, oh, my gosh. Yeah. We've come a long way.
Yeah, we have.
Kids are so spoiled nowadays. If it's not a sports car, if it's not, you know, all these fancy things, they just can't handle it.
That is true. That is very true.
And so the world has changed a lot. And since we've had this, you know, we're having to learn to deal with people in a different way than we always have.
That's true. Yes.
I mean, it used to, you know, everybody just went to each other's office. You know, we met people for business, and it's different now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Almost everything is over the phone.
Yeah. People have less interaction with people, and so I guess, you know, like that lady was saying in that article, it's just flat out weird.
It is flat out weird because you don't shake hands now. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
That's out. You rub elbows.
Yeah. Well, you should.
It's strange.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the first time I had done that the other day.
Really? How did that go? Did you like it?
Well, I mean, it was different. They put out their elbow, and I go, well, okay, whatever. I mean, you know, I just go along with things, you know? I mean, oh, my gosh.
It could be gang symbols for all you know.
That's right. It could be, and I wouldn't know it. I'd just salute it, probably. But, you know, a lot of my clients, they are calling me on the phone. We're dealing over the phone. It's working, which I'm in shock that, you know, that we can do this much over the phone. And I'm afraid America, half of everybody may work from home the rest of their life. I'm afraid they're not all going to go back to the office.
Well, yeah. I mean, you've seen these commercials on TV, you know, and on social media. They're all over the place where people say, you know, it's just like, I'm never going to get out of my jammies again. I'm never going to put on my suit and go into an office. I'm doing this forever.
Well, and my people are back at the office.
Yeah.
You know, they are there. But and they actually don't have on their pajamas. But I know that they probably did during this time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And the only reason everybody needs to be in an office is our paperwork is there. Everything we deal with on a daily basis, you know, is there. And we need all the things from the office. And so as far as we're concerned, we had to get back. You know, we were making it the other way. But it's really nice to have everybody back in the office. Where we can read the mail on a daily basis. We were reading the mail like one time a week.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Well, during that time when everybody had to be closed, we would send someone up there to the office to get the mail once a week.
Yeah, that's tough to do if there's time-sensitive material in there.
That's right, because we have things every day. And like checks coming in, you know, that we need to get to the bank for the people for their premiums.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to make sure those premiums are paid. And that's another thing that people have never realized, and we've never even talked about it on the air. But when premiums are due, people don't realize we have already paid those. We pay them 90 days before the other people pay. So when we bill people, it's in arrears at all times.
Really? We've never talked about that.
Yeah, it's always in arrears. That's right. We have already paid their premiums. The premiums come due, and then we bill them after we've already paid them. So we're fronting that money every time for the clients. We front the premiums for them in advance.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I may misstate this, so please correct
okay.
me. But you accrue for these in advance, knowing that they could come due. You know, so it's not like people have to really, when you say, okay, premiums I do, they don't need to run down with their checkbook and write you a check. I mean, there's an account, and you pull it out, you pay it, and everybody knows how it's all set up in advance. And, you know, like you say now, that you go ahead and pay those. And then so people are just basically repaying the premiums you just paid, right?
That's right. They're reimbursing the company, really, for the premiums we've already paid for them. And our clients are very good about premiums. When premiums are due, they always pay. I've heard companies say that the people didn't pay. And it really put them in a bind because you can lose the policy if everybody didn't pay. And I know that our clients are very good about paying. They've always paid their premiums. We have the best clients in the whole world. When it comes to living up to the contract, they do it. It's just no doubt about it.
And people should know that there are cases where there are no premiums due, but that is one of the biggest risks of a life settlement is that it may go over and they may have to pay premiums, but they don't
exactly
always.
That's exactly right. And most of them are very small unless it's those two old policies. The premiums are very easy to pay. They're not a lot of money, so it works out very good. So that is, even though that's your biggest risk, it's not a great big risk. Especially if we get it billed out right. Not long ago, we did have a billing error because we were changing everything over, and somehow it was billed out more than it should have been, and someone caught it, thank goodness, and anyway, we changed it over. But premiums are a big risk, but it's not a high risk, okay? So it's not going to be like it's thousands of dollars.
So people,
it's usually $500 to $1,000 is usually about what it runs.
So they should know it doesn't cut into their profit. You know that might.
No,
it won't. It's not wiped out.
No, unless it's those two old policies, they really don't have a lot to worry about. They're going to get their profit. They're going to get their premium. And even on those old policies, they're going to get all their money back. plus whatever the interest was versus whatever premiums they paid on those two old policies, even that.
So what's the next biggest risk?
The next biggest risk is, remember, it is not liquid until it matures. It is not liquid until it matures. Now, when it matures, it is liquid again, and you can draw part of it, or you can just roll it over. And most people always roll it over. These are all IRAs. Almost everybody's with us has an IRA. A few of them don't. But right now, everybody's wanting to accumulate. And we're during the accumulation phase of this investment. So we're trying to accumulate as much as we can and get as much interest as we can for them, where in later in life, they'll have all this interest to live on.
And that's the whole goal, is to make money for retirement and really for anything you want to. If you want to, you know, travel, if you want to, you know, like you said earlier, buy a ranch, buy a farm, you know, just buy some cars, whatever you want to do, you've got to have the money there, and this is the way to get. So what's the third risk?
The third risk is if a life insurance company ever went under. And in Texas, we've never had a life insurance company go under. And even nationwide, they have not had one in years because the premium income is so great that somebody would buy it, you know. And there's never one for sale. There may be some private ones for sale, but you never hear about them because the premium income is so great with all these companies. And they're all, you know, worth billions and billions. And you can look them up. And as you know, the companies that we do business with, they're A-rated and double A-rated. We have a lot of opportunities for B-rated companies, and we still have not ever done a B-rated. We turned down a policy this week. It was a great policy, but the company was B-rated, and we did not do it.
So for people to know, or as people go into this, they should know that they do have to be accredited to be a part of the life settlement program. So what does that mean? What are the requirements?
The requirements, you have to either make $200,000 a year, or you have to be worth $1 million, and that's without your home. And let's say they don't qualify. Let's say they are not accredited. They can do annuities. And the annuity companies are gearing up right now. They're going to pay more than they've ever paid. The opportunities out there on annuities are great. I've been getting papers all this week, new policies. I mean, they've really streamlined it. The annuity companies have got more money than anybody, and they are coming out with some fantastic policies. Some of them have no caps on them, and that means there's no cap as to how much you can make. And we went back and looked at it, and some of these have made between 5 and 9% consistently.
Wow, that's pretty good.
That's right, and we have a tracking on all, what they've made for the last 9 years.
Okay. Wow.
So they've made good money. And some of them made up to 14%. So if you don't qualify and you still have 100,000, you know, our minimum is 100,000 on anything. So if they have 100,000, they want to do an annuity and they don't qualify to do the life settlement, they can do one, and they're going to love the annuities as much as they do the life settlements.
Okay. So you're doing introductory meetings and whatnot over the phone and on Zoom, right?
That's exactly right. We're doing it on Zoom. We're talking to people on the phone. We can go through everything we do, how everything works on the phone. And most of these people know someone that's already with us, so they already know a little bit about it. They just don't know if they've told them everything or if they told them right. That's what I always say. Well, I don't know if they told you everything right or not, but let's go over it again.
Yeah, that's a
and
good
we
idea.
Do. It's a good idea. We want to be sure they know how it works and how they're going to get paid and, you know, what the conservative part of this investment is.
So are you available? Do you have availability this coming week for appointments, or are you into the following?
I do. Yes. No, this week we will be talking to people, signing people up, getting accounts open, getting them in policies, and we'll be getting our clients in policies this week. As I said, we've got a lot of money come in, and we need to get that invested for them.
Cool. All right. Well, one last time, Faye, what is your phone number for people to call and get the ball rolling?
Okay. It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.